Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Talk a little bit about the NFL. Also want to talk about college football. Senior writer for the Sporting News, especially when it comes to covering the Pigskin or any other things. Too. He's covered a ton of stuff. He is the pride of Pickerington, probably the most famous guy from Pickerington right now on our radio station in Central Ohio, considering half of the team went to Pickerington from Ohio State. He is Bill Bender, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Should say OU Bobcat as well, too. How are you, Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Hey, you guys want to hear a good Jack Sawyer story?
Give yes. it to me.
So I've been telling this one all week. When he was like a junior at Pickerington North, at a five-star, mm-hmm. I called him for a story, and I said, hey, you know, my son, who was much younger then, just wants to say hi. And I stepped in the other room, and then I come back like a couple minutes later, and Jack was still talking to my son Grant about like coverages and quarterback and all these things. He is truly like – there are some that have a persona and you kind of know, it might be fake. Jack is as real as it gets. And of all the guys on that team, given the playoff run that he had, I think I can say it. And I don't care if it's not objective. I was super happy for him on Monday night.
Yeah, it was just the scoop and score, too. Just you go back and you think about what, especially after what happened in the Michigan game, right? I mean, that made it even more. It's why kids want to wear 33. Right, if you're a kid around Ohio right now, that's the jersey I would want my kid. In fact, my kid does wear 33, so kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, and you know, obviously there were five kids from Pickerington on the team, the Stiles brothers, and right. I was on the plane home with the Stiles family, and Lorenzo, as you can remember, he still looks like he could fill an inside zone and hit somebody. He was a really good linebacker in his day, but they were so happy, and a lot of OHs on the plane. As busy as the airport was, I will say this, and I think you guys probably already talked about it. I think in the crowd, it was probably about 65-35 Ohio State fans.
Right.
And around Atlanta, it did feel like there was more Notre Dame fans around Atlanta. Maybe it was just the hotel I was staying in.
Did or didn't feel like there were more Notre Dame fans?
I thought there were going to be more because I was just like walking around the lobby. I was like, man, that's a lot of green. So maybe they just had a better rate at that hotel.
Hey, Bill, I had this conversation the other day. Maybe that could be. I think we look back and we value that percentage that you just talked about. Like I was saying this the other day. In 2002 in Arizona, it was 98% Ohio State, right? And then in 2014, I'm just trying to think. Oregon had a good crowd. It was maybe 35-40%. And that I don't know, why are we so infatuated with that? And I am, Bill. It's not like I'm not, but I always want to hear what the bowl looks like when you're at a neutral site game.
And I always just peek down and look, you know. I'm like, yeah. Oh, wow, this is what it does. Now, it's so wild to me, and this is a sign of what we're doing now, that first playoff game against Tennessee when
yes.
the Vols brought up about 30% of the stadium in Ohio Stadium.
Which you never
see.
Very
real.
Yes.
Which was, yeah, exactly. And you know, it was such a cool playoff run for the Buckeyes, this four-game rampage. I've been asked a lot of, like, overarching, what does it mean? You know what? I think it means it sets a standard for this new era. I feel like we group BCS title games together, or title champions together, and we group these 14 champions together. And now the Buckeyes have set a standard for everybody else in this 12-team era, how to get through it. You know, they beat six of the top eight teams in the CFP rankings this year. That's a pretty good run.
That's a real good run. If you're Ryan Day, what are you feeling about yourself? What are you feeling about your program right now? What are you feeling about your future, Bill?
Well, I was joking with a couple writers. I said, do you think he should be given a portion of his post-game speech to say, you know, here's who I want to tell off, you know, the haters. And
that's a weird one,
right?
Yeah,
but he didn't. And I thought he was, you know, very thankful. And I, you know, you saw his sideline when he threw the headset. I would have thrown that farther if I was him. And just the pressure that went off of him. And I think, you know, it really, the line I've used for the last 7 weeks is, and the worst thing in the world that happened, and they got to play more. And they took advantage of that opportunity. And I think as we get into Ryan Day legacy talk 10 years from now, I would have guessed that he'll be, you know, they'll beat Michigan some. And let's say he's like 6-9 against Michigan when it's all over, or 7-10 or something. But he has multiple national titles. I mean, Jim Tressel had one. Urban had one. I think part of being an Ohio State coach, I know you guys can attest to this, since John Cooper, how many teams Ohio State had could have won it? Seemed like 10.
Oh, John had one every year.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good ones that stick out, and their former players will tell you. Like Josh Perry will tell you, that 2015 team could have won it. The 95 and 96 teams, when you could run it, there was one team you could run a truck through Corey Stringer and Orlando Pace, the holes that they made. I mean, if he closes out two or three title runs in this format, I don't think there'll be any doubt about him.
Yeah, you said it, but then sometimes I'll think about it. You know, the worst thing that possibly could have happened was Michigan. But in some ways, as far as winning a national championship, maybe that was the best thing that ever happened, because it just knocked them down so far, they thought the whole world was against them. And they knew the mountain they had to climb, and they got there. That's what, you know, you talked about the wins against the top five teams. I think the fact that they were able to pick themselves back up after that loss and take advantage of what the new college football world looks like.
Yeah, and I think part of their legacy down the line is going to be how I felt about that. I mean, you go back and look at that 02 team with Tressel. How many NFL players are on that team? They're going to have a lot. The entire starting defense will play in the NFL. Won't be for all first-round guys, but they'll all play in the NFL. Will Howard will get a shot. You know, some of those offensive linemen, I mean, we're talking about 30, 35 guys, 40, wow, that might play in the NFL on that roster. It'll be one, you know how they do, and like, I can't believe I'm thinking of this movie, like the Ace Ventura, where he's circling the heads of the guys. In like 10 years, we're going to circle like 40 heads off this team. So, but they're not looking for Ray Finkel, but, you know, whatever.
Ask Notre Dame the laces are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Laces out. But this team will have that legacy, I think, with all those NFL guys and delivering the championship for Ryan Day and the first one in this format. And you know what? Notre Dame fought too. That could have been 45-7. I was impressed with how they fought back in the second half.
I was a little surprised that it seemed as if Ohio State, you know, kind of got conservative both offensively and defensively. Nonetheless, they won the game. They won the first 12-team playoff. Was the format a success, Bill, overall? Obviously some tinkering, but do you think this works moving forward for college football?
I do. I mean, struggle for me because I am a traditionalist, and you want to value the regular season as much as possible. You want it to be different than the NFL. But here's the justification for it. We got to tell Arizona State's story this year with Cam Scataboo. We got to tell Boise State's story as more than just, hey, man, Ashton Gentry's really good. We got to see it on the play. I do think the Big Ten set up for some time because they're coast to coast. They had, you know, from literally coast Oregon to coast Penn State, they had playoff teams in this thing. And they'll continue to do that. And you mentioned the tinkering. Yeah, we need to seed it properly. We probably need to cut a week off if we can. And I mean that in that the NFL playoffs are over in 5 weeks. college playoffs took seven weeks. I had buddies texting me that the lady from Titanic, that gif over and over and over again about how long this thing took. But it was fun. And I think we are going to expand it too. I'm feeling, you know, whether it's 14 or 16, we'll get more and maybe give those top seeds a home game. That's it.
I think you're right. I mean, I could see it going to 16 just because we've seen it work with the old 1AA. We've seen it work at Division II. We've seen it work at Division III. And eventually these teams are going to get better as this thing goes along. I just, you know, when you look back at this ride they were able to take, I go back and I look at some of the games throughout the season. And in some ways, the win against Indiana may have been one of the most important. And when you look at how Indiana went from, you know, a team that never is even 500, what, twice since 93, that win against Indiana, I think when they go back and look at the history of this season, how important that game was, especially after Oregon.
Oh, for sure. And you know, Kurt Cignetti was the Eddie Robinson FWAA Coach of the Year, so we rewarded that with him down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it was cool talking to him because he had a good insight on both teams. Because Ohio State beat them, Notre Dame beat them. And, you know, the thing he said with Ohio State, it was the hard part for them was figuring out how to cover the receivers. He's like, you got to – and everybody did. I mean, when you have Jeremiah and Emeka and Carnell, all three of those guys are playing on Sunday. All three of those guys are going to be on our fantasy teams, by the way, because they're going to put up big numbers. And
if we're lucky.
He was talking about mixing up coverage. Yeah, if you get at least one of them, you'll be fine. He was really thoughtful, and when you're coaching at Indiana, some people got mad about the things he said during the season. I was even a little like, really, this guy's saying Google me?
Yeah.
If you think about what he did, why he has to be like that in some ways, because you're bringing attention to a program that obviously did not have much success.
No, I think it's good. The other part about this for Notre Dame is, you know, you might say, okay, Notre Dame didn't win the national championship, but man, they won when it came to cashing in checks, and I think about, you know, Notre Dame getting half and then Ohio State having to split with the rest of the conference on a lot of the money that they were able to bring in. And how much stronger this is going to make Notre Dame down the road. You know, we've always talked about the TV contract being able to help them when the Big Ten schools are all splitting cash. But a year like this for Notre Dame, even with the, you know, a horrible loss in the beginning of the season, the cash they brought in by making it to the championship, that's a winning effort any way you can look at it.
Yeah, and you know, Marcus got asked the Ohio State question, oh, I don't know, 300 times. But the way that he's pushed this program forward easily could have been another, like, Notre Dame can't handle the big stage. Because, while I was waiting in the airport line, I was waiting with a couple women from South Bend. They were very nice. And they told me about going to the Alabama game when they played Notre Dame in 12. And one of the ladies was like, yeah, we left at halftime. So it was like, at least they played a four-quarter game here, and I think Marcus is going to have them in the playoff every year, if not close to every year, especially this format. And you mentioned the money. I'm sure they'll put that to use for that program.
Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News. Riley Leonard, one-year guy at Notre Dame. Will Howard, one-year guy at Ohio State. You bring in the veteran quarterback for his last year. Was that a coincidence, or is that a trend in college football?
I think it's a trend if you have a good trend if you have a kid like Ohio State was able to get Julian Sain and let him watch. Because I watched that spring game last year, and you could see the talent in Julian Sain, but you could also see it's going to have to slow down for him a little bit. Granted, he was playing against Ohio State's defense, which was amazing. Good to have a year to develop. And Notre Dame was able to do the same with C.J. Carr, five-star quarterback who's going to fight for time with Steve Angeli. There's two ways to do it. You could do what Nebraska did and play a guy like Dylan Raiola right away. But I knew even with Raiola, for all the hype and all the Mahomes look-alike comparisons, I had said early in the season, there will be ups and downs with a young quarterback. I think Michigan will have the same next year if they end up signing or starting Bryce Underwood.
Sounds good. Bill, thank you. We appreciate the conversation. Great stuff. We're reading you all the time in the Sporting News. And who knows? Give us some more Pickerington guys down the road, and we'll be talking about more national championships.
How's thank you,
sound?
Bill.
Yeah, if you recruit down here, you'll do all right. Thanks so much for having me on. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, take care. Bill Bender, Sporting News, senior writer for them. Nice enough to join us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.